My name is Usi Temba Lima, Chief Director for Education at the Department.
A very good morning, Shepherds and members of the Commission. My name is Jumi Nabogwan. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Education.
Very good morning,
Shepherds.
My name is Jacob
Good morning, Shepherds. My name is Masana Masalaria, Director of Landscape Management Department of Agriculture.
I've been trying to become
people can carry whatever cultural activities as far as our nation is concerned. It's a great concern that changing this rugby issue is really is uncalled for. I believe that listening to your voices will be able to recognize you, who is this one, who is this one. And then, honorable members, the department also wants to know who has really said it. Can you please still do the same?
Thank you very much, Jefferson. My name is Chris Malolo. I'm a member of the company. I come from Kumata province.
Let me offer my name from the Western Cape.
I'm Fengu, member of the
committee. No, this is Mbombo, member of the
committee.
I'm worried about when members of honorable members they were so down. I don't know what is the reason because already it's still in morning. They didn't even indicate where they come from. Only few indicated where they come from. We don't even know whether you are well represented in all provinces. Few members will indicate it. I'm your new chairperson. I'm just introducing myself to the department. Chivasi Josephine Dogowani from the Great Limpopo West Africa Country. And where culture is. Thank you very much. DJ, the floor is the who is presenting? Over to you.
Thank you very much, yes, I agree. When you look at us, one of your statements is addressing that that is our growth management. And when we invite you to come to that to Pretoria and we can meet the broader Department of African Culture and other managers. And have a slightly different picture, like image, but it's a matter that we are addressing.
We are present by Ingo 6 here in this committee, which means that we are doing well on the right side. You can continue, DJ.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The briefing today is, of course, the briefing on the annual report, and we have calculated the report itself. And as well as the presentation, and I don't know how much time I have for the presentation.
The whole day is yours.
Thank you very much. Well, let's start with the outline of the presentation, and we will deal with mainly five vision and mission of the department, the legislative mandate of the Department of Arts and Culture, and program performance, and then get into conclusion. Of course, as I indicated earlier on, the purpose is to brief the portfolio committee on the annual report of the department for the financial year for 2006 and 2007. Also, this briefing is to provide an overview of the activities of the department in response to the legislative mandate, as well as to obtain the committee's input into the strategic interventions that may be required for us to fulfill the mandate. The mission of the department hasn't changed. Honorable members are familiar with the mission statement of the department, which is to develop and promote arts and culture in South Africa, and then mainstream arts and culture's role in social development, develop and promote official languages of South Africa and enhance the linguistic diversity of the country, to improve economic and other development opportunities for South African arts and culture, and doing that nationally and globally through mutually beneficial partnerships, is mainly through cultural agreements, memorandum of understanding, and international conventions and such frameworks. And we also look at developing and monitoring the implementation of the policy, legislation, and the strategic direction for the department. And lastly, is to guide, sustain, and develop the archival, heraldic, and information resources of the nation to empower citizens through full open access to these resources. Honorable members would have picked up that in the last item, there's quite a lot of a national conversation that is going on, particularly with the issue of place names and name changes, and we have received a strong directive from government that we need to finalize on name changes within a period of 2 years. The legislative mandate of the Department of Arts and Culture is broad, covering a range of institutions and legislation. And that policy framework, of course, emanates from the White Paper on Arts and Culture and the promulgation of several pieces of legislation. And I might also add here that we have undertaken throughout this financial year, undertaken policy review and legislative review. And I'm mentioning this because it is part of the work that is emanating from the 2006 and 2007 financial year. And it is a matter that we are now at a stage where we are ready to come to Parliament to table the legislative review and as well as a policy review which has been accompanied that work, but it's a work that was started in the 2006-2007 financial year. Summary of programs for the department. We have got six programs: administration, arts and culture and society, the national language services, cultural development and international cooperation, and investing in culture. And investing in culture, earlier on, it used to be known as poverty alleviation, and but we said that investing, we changed that to investing in culture. Dead Heritage Promotion, National Archive, Record, Meta Information, and Heraldic Services.
Mm-hmm. There's a word, Meta Information, it's not a bureaucratic word. They're actually talking about libraries. The branch of library, when if we were still the Department of Arts, Culture, Science and Technology, the sciences didn't feel comfortable calling libraries, they called libraries meta information. And somehow we carried over to Arts and Culture meta information, but actually we're talking about libraries. Then the report on the program, performance, program one, and is basically the administration of the department, what we call corporate services, which is mainly a support service that provides overall management and as well as the provision of centralized support services, in order to create an enabling environment for the department's objectives. Also, it is aimed at coordinating and developing systems that will effectively and efficiently manage the strategic functions and operations of the department. The main activities under Program 1 is coordination, which is looking at monitoring and evaluation, the work that we do, and seek to position the department in a manner that we are able to coordinate with the provinces, with local governments. It is intended to align and integrate the departmental activities with the broad government program of action. It also ensures the promotion of integrated planning and as well as intergovernmental relations in the three spheres of government and the arts and culture sector. It assesses the impact of the DAC policies and strategies in the arts and culture sector and proactively identifies issues for policy development or policy review. And our earlier reference to the policy review that we started in the 2006 and 2007 financial year, that work is mainly driven from this unit. But also this unit coordinates the work that we do within the clusters of government. We are prominent, we are featured as the Department of Arts and Culture in mainly three government clusters. The first cluster is the social cluster. And the work that we do within the social cluster is mainly to drive issues of social cohesion and national identity. The matter of social cohesion is a very critical matter, which quite a significant amount of work has happened. We have gone to Cabinet Lekota and tabled the framework for the strategic implementation of social cohesion in the country. And we have presented that framework to the Forum of South Africa Directors General, including the provinces. And I think it is a framework which we would request that we come and be able to portfolio committee, because over the next two or three financial years, quite a lot of what we're going to be doing is going to be focusing on social cohesion, and because it is actually quite a challenge to us as a country, and the Department of Arts and Culture has been identified to lead that work of the cluster. The second cluster that we are beginning to impact on is the one on international relations. And we are now coming up with a framework on what we would like to discuss with the country on the on the role of arts and culture in the country's diplomatic effort. So we'll be talking really cultural diplomacy. And I think that this letter is very important because to a large extent, if you look at home here, we have got the British Council, and the British have pushed their cultural diplomacy to the British Council. So sometimes I hear with friends, and the Germans are here with the Goethe Institute, and we have got grand programs, political programs such as EFA, and we would want to say if there are these continental initiatives, what should be a broader cultural diplomacy to back those initiatives on the continent and outside of the continent, the kind of a conversation that we would like to engage in. How do we engage, for example, with the diaspora, which has been identified by the African Union as one of the arms of African Union's pillars? So these are the conversations that we would be talking about. Lastly, on the cluster, because I'm spending a little bit of time on the cluster because this is where quite an important amount of government work happens. There is a new cluster that has been formed and it's spread from 2006 to now, after 2007 to now. And this is called the ISAC cluster, which is co-chaired by the Department of Arts and Culture and the Department of Communication. And it is basically looking at IT. And with the Department of with the Department of Communication providing the infrastructure, and the Department of Arts and Culture providing content, and it's proving to be a significant opportunity in terms of addressing issues of creative industries, the issue of cultural content on television screens and so forth. And we have been also formulating strategic partnership with various community stakeholders, including the National Religious Leaders Forum, in order to implement the program of action on key areas that have been agreed upon by the presidency and the national religious leaders. And we are looking again into the issues of moral regeneration, social cohesion. Moving into that next slide then, it's a matter of human resources management. And this is a strategic component in the department. And of course, the purpose there is to ensure that the department has an appropriate, efficient, and effective personnel to ensure the realization of service delivery objectives and achievement of departmental goals. And HR also seeks to ensure improved competence levels, build a culture of high performance in the department, ensure departmental compliance with the HR legislation. And in terms of achievement there is that a large percentage, about 65% of vacant posts in the department have been filled, and the training of employees as well as implementation of personal development plans have occurred. HR policies are in place, they've been approved. There is an approved structure in the department in line with the DPSA guidelines and requirements. And the implementation of performance management, performance agreements and performance management
and development frameworks is continuously being improved, and the vacancy rate in the department is being addressed, and there have been quite a number of posts advertised over the last two or three months, specifically in HR, and we'll be moving now to other professional areas. And key vacant and funded top management positions have been filled. Management development programs were offered to middle managers in order to enhance their capacity, and also it's part of career pathways. The operations unit is ready to create an enabling working environment for department. Coordinate and develop systems that help us to manage the strategic functions and operations of the department. The service delivery objectives were achieved through the following activities like workflow management, accommodation requirements, project management, supply chain management, public relations and marketing, security and office and events management. In the previous and the current financial year, the visibility of the department has been promoted through marketing and other campaigns. We think that a safe and healthy working environment for all employees that exist in the department and an efficient provision of appropriate and adequate services has been ensured. Coming then to financial management, the financial management that we have reflected on in the annual report looks at a framework for an effective and efficient and economic management of state assets, money and expenditure. This framework is intended to improve organizational compliance with financial legislation, policies and procedures. It is also aimed at ensuring effective implementation and, of course, compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. An accrual accounting and reporting system has been installed, and a new standard chart of accounts is maintained. There is a synergy coordination and liaison among programs to effectively manage their budgets. The highest standards of professional ethics is being promoted and maintained. In terms of service delivery achievements in this area, sound financial management is facilitated through the PFMA workshop, regular and timeless processing of financial transactions is continuously undertaken, as well as regular reporting on and control over government assets and expenditure. Those also take place. Some deficiencies regarding financial and supply chain management principles have been identified, and then they were also corrected. And an effective and efficient utilization of the department's budget allocation in order to ensure maximum impact on the strategic objectives of the department and of government is continuously being improved. And lastly, sound accounting and revenue management system is in place. Getting to program performance and looking at the main appropriation, adjusted appropriation, and the actual amount spent in looking at administration, there is arts and culture, in society, the national language services, cultural development, and international relations, and then heritage promotion. And you will notice that the heritage promotion has got the largest allocation in terms of the budget. And this is the money that is going to mainly to our museum, and that's the biggest chunk of that. And then there is National Archives, record meta information, and well, National Archives, libraries, and heraldic services. Then stands at 87.2, and the main appropriation stood at 1.3. And out of that, almost about 60% of that allocation is transfer payment, and that is the allocation that is going to the museum, the go to the National Arts Council, National Film and Video Foundation, the playhouses, and so forth. And for us, this is very critical because the implementation of our program is really happening with within the institution, and therefore also the issues of oversight in terms of programs and in terms of allocation then begin to take a key strategic role for us. We have just completed some induction workshops with the new council for heritage institutions. Now, getting to the next matter, which is the report of the Auditor General. The report of the Auditor General for the financial year 2006-2007 gave the Department of Arts and Culture a qualified report, qualified opinion, and that qualified opinion was based on three things. First, it is the matter of the asset management in that department. The second was the matter of the management of leave provision. The third one is generally other matters. But the other matters really pertain to heritage objects and stuff in the museum. But let me start first by addressing the issue of asset management and how we have responded to that at the department. And that what has been actually an issue has been the difference of 13.4 million rand between the asset register of the department and the amount disclosed to the Auditor General. And that is really due to the fact that the register that we had still reflected the assets of the old building when we're still the Department of Arts, Culture, Science and Technology, and as well as assets that are less than 5,000. We have embarked on asset verification, and we, in order to address that matter of 13.4, and that asset verification has been completed. And with the assistance of the National Treasury, the department is moving to a new accounting system, which is called Logit system, and it will also use this system as an asset management system. We will be finalizing on the asset verification, finalizing on the asset management system by November. We will also, in the month of November, be conducting the interim audit. The Auditor General will then, in that interim audit, be also able to indicate the level of improvement on non-improvement in terms of asset management system of the department. But I'm quite confident that when we do the midterm audit, that Auditor General would find that there has or there is improvement in terms of asset management and in the department. And I think that the issue of asset verification, which has been completed, will go a long way in assisting us in this regard. The second matter then that was raised by the Auditor General, it's a matter of leave provision. And the issue here was a discrepancy between what is in the personal system, and the personal system is a employment system, and that is used throughout government, and the actual leave forms that were signed in the employees' files, and we are now we are in the process of finalizing the reconciliation between the two sets of data, so that there is complementarity and coherence, and in terms of that. The third matter, and which has also caused a lot of conversation, and probably discussion, is a matter of setting up of effective controls of illegal trafficking in heritage resources, and one cannot begin to do that effectively if you do not have a comprehensive list of what you have in the state. But also both the national legislation as well as the international instruments or protocols to which we are signatory obliges us as a government to develop such a list. And what we have done, and for the purposes of the consolidation and coordination of information on heritage resources, the South African Heritage Resources Agency has now completed the first phase of what is actually a three-phase audit of heritage assets in the country. The first audit has been looking at the Plantarian estate, the Presidency, the Fortescue estate, and Union Building. That first phase of the audit has been completed, and we would welcome an opportunity to come and present to the Portfolio Committee the work that has been done in that regard. The second phase of the audit is the phase that is going to go into government departments as well as to our associated institutions, and this is where actually quite a bulk of the work is located, and I must be frank and here and say it is an exercise. The second phase is an exercise that actually is not, will probably take not anything between 3 to 5 years for that kind of to complete, because one is going to have to go to each and every institution that is in our on our book to be able to photograph, catalog, and identify each and every thing that is a heritage object that is in those institutions. But we will keep on reporting continuous and in progress in terms of that particular audit. The audit will result in a database of information on heritage resources, which will be accessible to various users, including the safety and security agencies, as well as border control. One last part I forgot to mention is that the last phase will be also an audit of our missions and embassies abroad. Also, in terms of heritage objects, we have a forum consisting of South African Police Services, ourselves with Arts and Culture, and SARA, and including Interpol, International Police, to facilitate initiatives against the theft of our heritage items from our museum and illicit trafficking of in heritage objects. We have also secured resources from National Treasury to improve security at our heritage institution. And the terms of reference for this exercise include evaluation of the current health, safety, and security measures at the National Museum under the Department of Arts and Culture, and the costing and implementation of the recommended corrective measures. I think what is also a challenge here, a challenge which I'd like to bring to the attention of the honorable members, is that not all the museums in the country fall under the Department of Arts and Culture. We've got museums that are under the provincial administration. We got museums which are under local administration. We also have got museums which are heritage institutions which are family run, and we do not have a say in what goes on in those institutions. But they do, of course, have national treasures as well, and so we were going to have to find a way to also engage them in this exercise so that we can all be involved in the protection of the national estate. In terms and that then where those were the issues that led to the auditor general and giving the department that specific opinion. Moving on then to corporate governance, and the Corporate Governance Directorate looks really at attaining good and effective governance within the department's public entities and to ensure timely reporting in terms of the PFMA. And these are the institutions that take the 60% of the allocation of the department, that 1.3. And as I said, 60% of the department's total budget represents transfers to public entities. A total of 95% of quarterly reports and strategic plans for 2005-2006 to 2007-2008 have been submitted on time by the public entities. In terms of the audit report for the financial year 2005 and 2006, 73% of, say, over 70% of the department public entities had unqualified reports, compared to 69% for the financial year 2004-2005 and 52% for the financial year 2002-2003. The 2005-2006 audit reports also show the highest number of total clean audit reports. There has also been a significant reduction in the total number of compliance issues raised in the audit report. On average, the financial position of the public entities is healthy, in that most institutions have achieved surpluses in relation to their income and expenditure. The legal services really deals with supporting, giving that department legal support for the implementation of our contractual and legal obligation to our conventions and legal support is provided in the implementation of protocols and that we sign and of course the issue of legislative review has also been undertaken with this component leading the process. We also have participated in the development of draft conventions at the World Intellectual Property Organization, it's WIPO, not WICO, as it is in the slide. And this is the matter on the protection of intellectual property rights for traditional knowledge, traditional cultural expression, and genetic resources. And then IT it is really the technical component in the department that enables us to be able to do our work and to link up with the outside world. And most of the, our IT is, of course, provided through a feature. And the IT policy manual was drafted, and it was also submitted to the auditors in early 2007. An IT security policy has also now been incorporated in the IT policy manual. Internal audit, the purpose there is to provide service in corporate governance, integrated risk management processes, and best practices in order to maintain an efficient and effective internal control environment. A range of internal audit services such as risk and compliance audit, forensic audit, computer audit, and performance audit are provided. In terms of service delivery achievement, a risk management strategy was developed and approved, and a risk committee was established to monitor the overall risk management processes within the department. Internal audit and audit committee an audit committee charter which define the purpose, authority, and responsibility of the internal audit and audit committee were updated and approved. And a fraud prevention plan was also approved, and a fraud prevention strategy was developed and implemented. As part of the fraud prevention strategy, the department makes use of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. Then the communication directorate is there to promote media relations and public relations between ourselves as the department and the broader South African public. And communication services were delivered on a number of commemorations, like the one of commemorating the death of former president of Mozambique, Samora Machel, Heritage Month, Women's Day, and Combat Uprising, and many others, including of course the National Day. Communication services and strategies are implemented with a broad framework provided by government to to promote interdepartmental activities by communicating relevant, appropriate messages to the public. Now, that then finishes the first part of this reporting, which was looking at the supporting components within the Department of Arts and Culture. The second part of this presentation looks at the programs themselves, and program two, which is culture in society, and the program here is intended to develop and promote arts and culture in South Africa and mainstream its role in social development. It seeks to increase and facilitate access to broader participation in arts and culture through funding, policy formulation, as well as legislation. And there is a program that and work that is being done was done during the financial year with the community arts center, as well as work that was done with the playhouses, and this is the five playhouses and festivals, as well as performing arts, which was a service delivery achievement. There was an estimated amount of 2.2 million rand was invested in the promotion of performing arts projects to address skills development program, social cohesion and job creation. And the cultural program for the 50th anniversary of the Women's March was implemented under this program. The cultural program for the opening and closing ceremony of the 2006 Soccer World Cup was facilitated and funded by the department, and the preservation of choral music and the choral music heritage have also been funded over this project. And in terms of that program, the statutory body, there is a National Arts Council, and members of the council for the NAC, members of the council for the National Arts Council have been appointed, and we have had at least some workshops, two workshops to induction workshops actually, to help the council members to orientate them and to capacitate them on good governance and compliance matters. And we were also we will actually next in 2009 we'll be hosting the International Forum of Arts and Culture Councils worldwide, and it is quite a prestigious event of looking at government, persons of government and policy development in this sector worldwide. And also we have done some work there on children and people with disabilities and creating sustainable strategies for creating sustainable human settlement. And there we are working with the Department of Housing. And what still remains a challenge and is always the issue of hard access to all the communities throughout the country, and it is very much linked to the issue of resources and infrastructure. And then we talk to the issue of the youth program that is there. And then the National Language Services the work we do is to promote and protect the official languages through policy formulation, legislation, and implementation of language policy so that South Africans can realize their language rights. The service delivery achievement has been the Language Research and Development Center that DAC has set up language structures for the implementation of language, the national language policy framework, and 8 out of these 9 centers have been established. And also we have continued with the telephone interpreting service for South Africa, where 47 interpreters have been trained by Brest University to provide efficient interpreting service in all official languages. A training process is currently taking place to train sign language interpreters. To date, 337 sites have been connected to this interpreting services, and these sites are functional in various government departments. The TISA project intends to employ more interpreters, extending the service to all government departments and to include foreign languages for interpreting for 2010. Then there is the matter of the Human Language Technologies Unit. Three projects have been commissioned to be completed over the next 3 years as part of the implementation of the National Language Policy Framework. The development of multilingual telephone-based information system for the government postposes, which is one of the outcomes here, will enable callers to access government services in official languages of their choice through the use of ordinary telephones as the information language, as an information medium. The Human Language Technologies component has also finalized the compilation of the National Human Language Technology Strategy. Several important government documents also were translated or edited in the course of this financial year. And this is a service that we provide across government. With regard to terminology development, really the terminology development has really focused on the HIV and AIDS, and also we have been doing some work on human, social, and economic management sciences, and we have also started on new terminology projects, and which are focusing on mathematics as well as on natural sciences. And that is the work that has been done in terms of the language component. With regard to cultural development and international cooperation, here really we seek to create access and improve economic and other developmental opportunities for South Africa's art and culture, and both nationally and globally. And the program in terms of international cooperation seeks to increase the access, exposure, and participation by our artists in creative industries through collaboration and enhanced training and exhibition in the international sector. In terms of the service delivery and achievement, here is that during the financial year under consideration, during the 2006 World Cup in Germany, South Africa showcased the cultural landscape of the country through different programs, which included music and craft exhibition. about 200 artists participated in this program. And we also identified a shortage in trained curators in the country. As a result, 10 South African curators were placed in internship programs in the United Kingdom. And three students were supported for internships in Sweden and the Netherlands. And we have also been interacting with countries such as China, Cuba, and we also participated in the Venice Architectural Biennale. And in Africa and the Middle East, cultural agreements were signed during the 2006 and 2007 financial year with Mali, Mozambique, Gabon, Mauritius, and Botswana. Tomorrow, tomorrow there will be an MOU signed tomorrow morning in the India, Brazil, South Africa framework, the IPSA MOU for cultural cooperation will be signed tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, which will then strengthen the South to South component in terms of our cultural cooperation. And we also have got a Swedish South Africa Partnership Program, which has contributed 12 million rand for the period of 2004 up to 2008. And out of that amount of money, we have allocated funds to 31 organizations on joint programs with Swedish organizations. We also have got a fruitful collaboration with the Flanders Ministry of Culture, and that consisted of several art and culture projects, one of which was the assistance we received on the development of local government cultural policy. We have collaborated on art education and training, and also on programs and development within the community art centers. And in our collaboration with Flanders, we invested 5 million, and that 5 million leveraged 25 million from the Flemish government. We also hosted the African Diaspora Conference on Cultural Diversity, and the objectives of the conference were to lobby for the ratification of the promotion and protection of cultural diversity convention. Of course, South Africa led in this initiative. It was chaired by Professor Kada Asma, and we have already ratified the convention on the promotion and protection of cultural diversity in 2006. The cultural development program really where we've been looking at the creative industries and as well as a book and publishing. And as I indicated earlier on, I think with the newly established high-side cluster, we will be able to leverage a lot in terms of bringing IT strategies closer to the creative industries in the country. And this is very important because the creative industries have been identified as one area of focus for artists. We also hosted the African Film Summit, which brought film representatives from all over the continent, and this was our contribution to the Nepal Cultural Industries program. And then these are some of the programs that we are undertaking: a feasibility study on the establishment of a film school as part of the film of the development of the film industry has been initiated. Investing in culture then, as I said, is a program that really addresses the issues of second economy in the area of arts and culture. In the financial year 2005, 2006, and 2006 and 2007, we created just over 5,000 jobs and to the beneficiaries of this program. And this program, as I said, it used to be the program which was poverty alleviation, but we renamed investing in culture. 62% of the beneficiaries here are women, and 53% is youth, and 8.5% is people with with disabilities. We have also invested 40% of our allocation of investing in culture in low-down municipalities in support of the integrated sustainable rural development and urban renewal program. We have also took craft and other beneficiation products and put them in the mainstream economy. With regard to heritage promotion, I have already alluded to the commemoration of the Samora, the late president of Mozambique, Samora Machel, and together with the Mpumalanga government, we planned and implemented the opening of the Samora Machel and Buzini Library and the upgrade of the Samora Machel Monument in Mpumalanga. The library in that community is part of the second phase in terms of the Samora Machel Memorial Project. And the department initiated now the second phase of the Sarah Bartman Legacy Project, which entails the upgrading of the grave site in Haiti in the Eastern Cape Province, as well as the development of facilities to support tourism to the region. We have been working very closely with the provincial government of the Eastern Cape and as well as Western Cape and to commemorate the life of Sarah Bartman. A reference group was established, and the Bravian Mega Reserve and Gokha Development Agency are also part of the project to develop a heritage tourism, heritage trail around this area in the Eastern Cape. And we are now also working with the Eastern Cape government on and the Mbizana municipality on the project to commemorate the OR Tambo in the Mbizana and Gandolo areas of the Eastern Cape. We are also cooperating with the University of Fort Hare to repair some damaged buildings in an effort to preserve the historic character and the architecture of the University of Fort Hare. We have also played a significant role in, I've talked to the issues of the audit of the national estate, but we have also played a leading role in the establishment of the African World Heritage Fund. South Africa chairs the African World Heritage Fund. This is an initiative that has the backing of the African Union, and it is to look after the African World Heritage Site and to link those to tourism development. And this fund is located within the Development Bank of Southern Africa, CBSA in Midrand in Johannesburg. And it is being audited by the Auditor General. And it's a fund that we think it's got quite a potential to deliver on job creation, not only here in South Africa, but on the continent, and to actually develop heritage infrastructure, and by linking that to tourism. And then with regard to geographical means, I think that the honorable members are fully aware of the conversation that is taking place in that area, and therefore I will I don't want to I will then move and leave the geographical name. So the honorable members are well aware of the levels of the temperature on this one. All right, and that is a nice national conversation. Then, in terms of heritage policy research and development, and we have had consultative meetings throughout the year looking at a number of things. One was the process towards the ratification of the underwater cultural heritage in order to ensure that South Africa's underwater cultural heritage and maritime archaeology resources are protected. There are very nice partnerships that are coming out here, particularly with the two countries that have been involved along our coastal line for centuries, and that is the Netherlands and Portugal. Portugal has got the most comprehensive data in terms of the ships coming from the from the late 1400s that have been that traveled around the South African coastline, and the ones that sank right moving to the area of the Dutch East India Company, the British occupation. So, their programs were now finalizing on a framework for training and cooperation in this regard. So it's a fascinating area of work. And we are also working now towards the ratification of the convention for the safeguarding of the intangible cultural heritage. With regard to the archives, and then this is the last part of the presentation, with regard to the National Archives, the records, libraries, and heritage services, we developed a web-enabled version of the National Automated Archival Information Retrieval System, and as a principal means of locating public records in our archival custody. The record management policy and performance criteria for record managers in governmental bodies were published both in hard copies and online. The National Archives has taken proactive steps to accommodate that changing nature of record keeping in an electronic environment. And in this regard, a publication called Managing Electronic Records in Governmental Bodies was substantially revised. And in addition to that, a publication called Managing Electronic Records in Government Bodies Metadata Requirements was published. Record management services were rendered to governmental bodies and so that they could comply with statutory requirements. We also completed the renovation of the conservation lab and also did some work on policy work on the preservation. A draft policy statement of preservation has been developed, and extensive consultation has also taken place. in terms of the library, we have been together, well, the DAC in consultation with the National Council for the Library and Information Service is in the way. We have finalized the process of developing a funding model for the management of funding of community libraries. And this is the study that was done by the KPMG and Treasury. Then we got an allocation of 1.2 billion to look into delivery of library services into the community. And once again, honorable members, it is here that we would welcome an opportunity to come and table the framework for the development of the community of the community library. But we also see that the framework that can impact in terms of the promotion of indigenous language, of the official language. And because one doesn't only talk about building of the library in terms of infrastructure, one needs to begin to address the issue of the content. What kind of books go in there, in what languages are those books in, and of course, people who are dealing with early childhood development talk about the role of early learning in one's own language as being critical in the development of a child. And these are some of the things that we would be talking about. And in August this year, we also hosted the World Library and Information Congress in Durban, and it was very well received and a great success. In terms of heraldry, these are just some of the things that was done. But what is critical for us here is a project which is called Flag in Every School. We have currently delivered over 2,000 flags in schools, and we're still rolling out on this. And we're working quite closely with the Department of Education. We have decided to extend that program so that we can also include all government buildings, flags in all government institutions. We are also looking at promoting flag in our cities. For example, if you enter Pretoria and on the N4, at the entry of Pretoria on the N4, there's a flag there. And all the entry points of Pretoria have flags. Not all of them, it's the N4. And the one on the left to Unisa, that square there. It's a campaign there. It's a campaign that we would like to take to all the cities and municipalities in the country. And it's also just a part of branding, also leading to 2010. We want to work. What is also on our plans is that we want to partner here with companies that is that are with the public South African stable, and so that we can also begin to popularize national symbols. I think that if you are able to to partner with Pick and Pay, and you partner with ShopRite, Checker, and you partner with Spar, you are almost in every South African home, and we all use those doors. And if we can partner with them in terms of popularizing national symbols, and also just for them to drop flags, which are not made in Taiwan, but are made in South Africa, and so that we can sell these flags in the stores and reach the broader South African public. That is about all from me, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think it was a real marathon, which I believe that members were more attentive. I was even looking at them, some were jotting some points and notes, whatever. But attentiveness creates inquisitiveness that they would like to raise some clarification questions, which I believe, I don't think it will be you alone, because they brought a team, and it will be a proof that they were also listening, and they'll be listening to the questions from the honorable members. You know who will respond to what. I think I'll give honorable members to raise some questions. I noticed Golola will be writing some and then will come after. Honorable Golola, I'm giving you this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I want to thank also the department for a very, very well break. I don't think I'll allow the break because I have to. Through you, Chair.
Your confession, Honorable Golola, they didn't even tell me about that break, really.
Thank you very much.
You can raise it and then we will give them that 2 minute break.
Thank you very much, for your protection. Unfortunately, Honorable Members, I have to rush somewhere for my appointment now. And then I just wanted to make a few comments and a few questions before I leave. The first one, Chapter 7, actually would be a question on the supply chain management as to how many companies specifically have been awarded by the department, whether those tenders are awarded to the broader public or are you targeting the triple BEE. The second question will be on the department that it has achieved 80% in the promotion of affirmative action as prescribed by the triple PFA. If maybe you could give us a few examples on that. And then on the heritage promotion, Jefferson, I wanted to say about the there is a site in Barberton called the Barberton Mountain Lands, whereby they are also applying to UNESCO for recognition of this World Heritage Site. I want to commend the department about its support in that initiative, and hoping that Barberton will be awarded that World Heritage Site status as well. I want to commend you for that you give me. On the question of the flags, I think you are doing a very well job there, and I will propose that you also give the members of this committee some flags also to supply also into their constituencies as well. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just leave it like that.
Thank you. I think now that members were here, I want to say that the reason and then after raising the question was for 5 minutes and then continue with the question. I think that members seem to be a little bit pressed in the reply for 5 minutes. You begin by sharing your question. I think it's important to understand that the information is not available.
That emanates from the report. Is this monthly report to National Treasury on anything that we spend above 100,000, we indicate for each and every contract what was the fee spending on that contract. So they have that data, but we didn't bring that to the CPC, but didn't present with the report.
So we will take that action.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, maybe.
Can you download it from here?
I've got a little, memory of it. Oh, I think I heard him go.
Thank you. We have raised it with a problem. but I think maybe if you could also just check on it and see, you know, with the province, what you can do to make it a place that you can say, you know, is a place that Professor Ngoma wants to see. And it's a kind of place that he was intended to see this woman alive. Yeah, I think most of my stuff I've lost somewhere. But thank you.
Honorable
I see on your the department is addressing the vacant post. And a lot have been filled up. But to me, this is not good enough. The department should be seen addressing the issue of having unemployment by 2014 and eradicating poverty. I just wanted to find out in this regard what the department is doing. The second question is related to the libraries. I remember that at some stage the department carried out an investigation regarding under which competency the library falls, whether to the province or to the local government. For taking of service delivery to our community, particularly in rural areas, I want to believe that if this becomes the competencies of local government, this will expedite the issue of building libraries in our communities. What is your response to this? Thank you.
Honorable Prince Zulu.
Thank you, Chair. That was a very long presentation, but very interesting. I was just taking 2 hours listening. I thought that maybe all these years he was studying, and now he is in a position to implement all what he's saying, and he has been saying what he has been studying in the department. And I'm happy that Comrade Peter has raised this Kabi Ngoma issue. I've been there. And then it was a part of some of my things that you raise it today, because the TG has raised it. But we hope it's going to do something. Because Kabi Ngoma was the best during those apartheid times. Choral music in the University of Congo. I was still a small boy at that time, but it was a wonderful thing when he came from Johannesburg to perform there. But when you look to his work now today, it is shocking. DJ, you mentioned that there are some museums that were run by, or they are run by the family. And I hope all these museums we are having in these days were started by certain families, most of them just in the say so. And then the government took over when those families were born. But what the department can do, because most of the things that we find in these museums
are the things that were taken from certain people, and then you get here in Ikara and Cape Town, you'll find that those things are from KZN, from all over the country, from the rural, and they are kept here. How are you going to encourage the people where these things were taken, so that they can start museums there, and then run by them and encourage them just to have it there in the rural administration? I got one horn here that was bought from England. Maybe says it bought that horn from England. No, this type of horn look like the one from KZN. And he says, yeah, it was from the war at Sandwan. There were 12 taken to England and they brought it back, but it's kept here. But we haven't got that at home. I'm asking what the department is going to do just to encourage the individual to start a museum where we are coming from. Another thing you mentioned about our culture and music. And then you mentioned the institutions like University of Venda, KwaZulu, and Eastern Cape, let's say so. But these indigenous music or institutions are not visible to the rural people. You know, they are just taking, let's say, these educated people just to do this. But when you look the way they are doing it, it is not a correct way unless they get the old people from outside, put them there, and then they are going to implement the right thing. Because at the moment you will find that, you know, this thing, although they say it's a indigenous music, but it has changed altogether. It's not no more the real thing that is being sung outside the institution. We want to take a long journey before you are on this position at DG in KZN. You remember that there was a request, I don't know how many years. One of the princes mentioned, say that in the man, your surname means something, but we hope that you are going to fulfill. You cannot start something and then leave it just open. They were talking about this royal symmetry for the Zulu King. And you really have, you saw it, but nothing has been done. I wanted to raise this to keep on thinking.
Honorable Otterman, sorry, sir, but I can let, if I repeat a question, Mr. Kimi. I can thank you, DG, for his input and his presentation. There was a reference made to the African World Heritage Fund. At the present moment, in the center of New York, in the center of London, we have the needle of Cleopatra, who once stood at Alexandria and before that in the ancient city of On. It belongs to Africa. If you go to the museum in London, the British Museum, it is packed with artifacts from Africa. What is being done to bring those things back to where they belong? I think it's very important. It cannot have an African Renaissance if these wonderful artifacts are still outside the continent of Africa. I'm a descendant chairperson of the Kena people of this country, the Hottentots. Sometimes wrongfully called the Khoi Khoi, or more stupidly called the Khoi San. But whenever there's a reference to these people, they talk about Sathi Bathman. Is there anything outside Sathi Bathman that you are busy with doing research of my heritage? I would love to know it. It was a little bit disturbing that I think the DG spoke about the inventories that they are building up now I mean, after so many years, they say when you see the lightning, the show is over. It is late in the day that we are only now busy looking at the heritage, the wealth of a community, of a country, of a nation. And I think they must really deal with it very, very quickly. The criteria, I would like to know from the DC, what is the criteria for funding of private companies? We had someone here, I think a week or two ago. He said he's representing a private company and their business is to make money. But they receive funds from the Department of Arts and Culture. I would like to know about the criteria. The reformatting of municipal code of arms, I would like to know more about that. I'm very interested to know more and how we can get all the information of the 126 municipalities that have they've changed the code of arms. I would love to know. And of course, you refer to language rights. It's important that we know that the proof of the police. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair.
The person said by thanking the DC for the very comprehensive presentation. I want to make two comments and then the question. First comment is that I don't know if it's not numbers. It's going to be very easy if there is no numbers. So in pages are not numbers. So if you could just please, when you write the foundation number, the word disabled person, we deal now with people with disabilities, so please, let us not write disabled persons when we write our foundation. Two is we visited the Sarah Bachman sometime last year, because this year, where I just want to comment the department by this year, because I see that you are saying you are improving. Because when we visited this Sarah Bachman grave, the environment around the grave was not good enough. So we're saying why did they do it? It was not clean, it was untidy, and around the grave there was too much to be done. So I'm very happy that we did speak to the deputy minister concerning the Sarah Bachman case. The question I want to ask the department is you spoke about illegal trafficking of heritage resources. I just want to know whether there is a policy around protection of this illegal trafficking in the heritage resources. And if not, how do you manage to control the illegal trafficking? I'll skip some questions instead of that. I'll ask them instead of that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Bengu.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wish to join others in congratulating the UPG. And of course, your wonderful presentation. It was very comprehensive, to a point of confusion sometimes. Because it's quite detailed. And within a short space of time, one has to reflect on it. And not blame us if we don't give you exactly the meaningful input into what you're putting in the development of your presentation, because it's very much detailed. And for sure it didn't take you just one day to develop that presentation. And then surely you cannot actually expect meaningful input from us within this short period of time. You have, amongst other things, mentioned things such as social cohesion, interesting, you know, terminology which the department is coming up with, which I thought we said one day we can be able to get time to unpack them meaningfully, because I want to wake up at night and somebody asked me to tell more about social cohesion. I don't have to say, particularly because that is the core of the department. So I have to know it in and out. So I mustn't doubt it. Unless something which is on the periphery of the whole program. But now this is all in the core. I would imagine that we get time to workshop this kind of thing. For instance, I don't understand that. I mean, you know, social capital. So we need to know all those things quite very clearly. You also talked about some museums which, kind of was a museum or something, which are not funded by. There are those which are funded and there are those which are not funded. But perhaps one is impoverished by the fact that I'm training you in computer. There are those kind of things which you keep on, you know, I keep on using as to what are the criteria of funding and for not funding. Yes.
Thank you. Let me also invite. One would like to know your relationship between, there are 3 to 4 committees, or little departments, arts and culture, environment, communication, and let's say education somehow. Your relationship when it comes to the gaining of whatever. Let me set an example. We have Mapunguze, which is which environment is claiming to be their project. I believe so. I believe you are also claiming that Mapunguze is your project. With a lot of, I'm just setting an example. We have communication, with somehow with the problem of this moral regeneration when it comes to the feelings and activities which are happening in TV, when they are trying to stop your children to look at it, or your grandchildren to look at it, wake up midnight and look whatever is happening there. More especially when it comes to sex issues, because that's where issues are really good home. And you can imagine a child looking at sex activities. What next? What are you expecting that child to do? Is whether he knocks at his brothers or the helper at home to go and practice what he was looking at. And then I want to know, how do you relate to such issues as far as moral regeneration is concerned? I mentioned education at the same time. As far as language is concerned, really, we have a problem. When we look at the translation of these other languages, the libraries, I can't remember which year we visited a certain country, whether it's China or somewhere, where we find that our older people, which we believe are our living libraries, they're not playing their role. Those stories which you used to know, who is this, we call our own language, we call it Ram, this cunning animal, this hare, Sangambe, who used to do a lot of, you know, dirty tricks, which I was seeing in our lives. In libraries, we found that those old people are sitting there, relating stories to the young ones. Even so, it is just here where we found older people relating stories to this young one. They are no more utilizing the library, I mean, to be the storyteller. How are you really relating to education department to have that sound relationship? But let's hear this entity.
Okay.
not able. The last item is the rural area people, rural area, like somebody has mentioned. One had a big problem really that they're left out somehow. They're left out. Most of the things are in cities, big cities. They don't have access to a lot of things, libraries, museums, and so on. So one would suggest that when you go back, you sit down and then organize that at least an attention be paid to them. Thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. I thought there was going to be a second bite, but because you we were throwing, I decided to take. I'll just take. I will club my question on administration. There's an intention that you say the department you'll be embarking on, you'll promote integrated planning, intergovernmental relations, and so forth. Also, on macro-social challenges in society, you've got a strategy that you are intending. But the two, the department will agree with me that it has never been good on both. What is the turnaround strategy now? Because the department has not been good in community mobilization and related marketing strategies. So we're interested in knowing what turnaround strategy to have. Another one, on corporate governance, the presentation suggests that entities that healthy financial standings, I would say. And it goes on to say that they achieved surpluses. And as a Christian, I would question surplus indicating healthy financial standing. Because when you have a surplus, it means that there's something that you did not do what you planned. Can we have clarity on those surpluses? Because one would be worried that something planned has not been done. That's the answer. On terminology development, one would want to understand the competition. I say competition. One would want to understand how do you navigate? How would you navigate yourself through the strength of the emerging township lingo? Older 7, Mzansi for sure, which SADC is promoting, and how would you do? And how is that going to deal with the relations that you have with SADC in that respect? Lastly, in our plan as the committee, we planned to assist the department so that we can create or find synergy between NLS and Bansal through a workshop that was just about to take place when? I can't remember. When can that workshop take place? That's the last one. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you, DG, and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. When we started, I thought I was going to get 8 questions. But it's fine, I'm not complaining.
I did it purposely so that you're not bringing up everything.
Let's try and give it our best shot. And of course, my colleagues will assist me, particularly with the difficult questions. And I'll take the easy ones, and then I'll ask them to help you. But on a serious note, Chairperson, first I would like to take this opportunity to thank you in your capacity as the Chairperson and the honorable members for all the congratulatory messages I've received and the best wishes that have come from the committee. I very much appreciate the welcome and the warmth and that has been accorded to me. I would very much like to, at least during my tenure as the Department of Arts and Culture, to make sure that relationship I invest on seriously in a professional way, and that the quality of work and the conversation that should happen between the department and the portfolio committee is one that could make all of us to be proud in promoting this portfolio of art and culture. I very much appreciate it. I also take on board the issue of having to address the gender imbalance in job management and in drug management, and it's one of the things that I think that if we do intend indeed to have a good relationship with the portfolio committee, we need to address that matter as a matter of urgency. Then the issue of community art centers, it's been a very vexing one on two levels. One was that we built community art centers with an understanding that there would be something coming from the provincial government that is in terms of maintenance of that infrastructure, and that the local government would come in with assistance on programming. And it just simply has not been the case. And it has been uneven, you know, in some areas. So, for example, there's a lot of interest from Gauteng. Gauteng is doing incredible work and innovative work with the community art center. Eastern Cape is investing quite significantly in their community art center. I'm just giving you a snapshot. And when you look at Limpopo probably has got 2 community art centers. And so it's something that we need to look at, and what we have done about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Mr. Slater, we met in Bloemfontein with a national network of community art centers to actually try and address these challenges. I think that most buildings fall into disrepair when they are not being used. And then vandalism happens and things like that. So the first question that we wanted to address is a question of activities within the community. And so we are looking at that budget of investing in culture, so that we can take some of that budget of investing in culture and redirect it into activities within the community art center, including recruiting staff to properly run the community art center. So yes, the issues of monitoring and evaluation will therefore be very key in that regard. The house of Professor Karim Goma, we will look into and find better ways of protection of that. One of the things that we're thinking that we're going to do in terms of our approach to 2010. I've invited all the managers of the host cities of 2010 so that we can sit around the table, put data, and say to ourselves, how do we address the social history, you know, of the communities of the host cities? And if we are hosting, for example, in Durban, how do we look into the social histories of Lamontville, of Mlazi, Kwamashu, Phoenix, and so that we can use that social history first and foremost to affirm the community of that, so that we are preparing them to also host the people. So that you first say, I must remind you about who you are, the achievements that you have made, and just to boost them. And after that, you need to also be able to say to those communities, you know, you also have got responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities is to protect our own history, our own heritage. Because if our own communities do not get to protect that heritage on an everyday basis, you know. And the Honorable Principal said he took us on historic sites of the great sites of the Zulu royalty. One of the things that really, really impressed me was going to the grave of Queen Nandi, the mother of Shaka. Clean, and maintained by the local community. And you can still read the inscription. It's misspelling. So I think there is also capacity within our communities to do certain things, you know. And we need to find a way of getting into the communities so that we can also protect our heritage. With regards to the King Post, and we are filling posts in the department, but also outside of the department, particularly in the poverty alleviation or investing in culture program. This is where we're looking at using that investment in fighting unemployment. That's why that program is also in the nose. In the nose. You see, one of the things that perhaps we need to do is that when we talk as a country and we say to ourselves, what is the state of the economy of South Africa? There are all kinds of indicators that you have. And it enables you to arrive at a conclusion that either says the health economy is good or the economy is not bad. It is not good. But when you look at the situation of the society in general, whether the country is cohesive, whether there's morally the sense of morality, pride, that we do not have social indicators. And one of the things that we would like to see happening is to move that way so that we can begin to say, yes, not only are we having poverty, but we are also talking about the quality of life. And so in the work that we are doing in the social cluster now, we are moving towards with the Human Services Research Council towards that framework. The issue of libraries and local government is an issue, it's a constitutional issue, because the constitution then did not give that the mandate to the local government. At one stage, people were thinking that we should go the route of the constitutional amendment to address that specific area. I don't think we will succeed in that way. But what we have done so far in terms of addressing the funding of the libraries is that we have created conditional grants to the provinces, so that the provinces are then giving the money to local libraries. It is a challenge, but I think it's a challenge that we can actually overcome. Access to museums and the issue of the establishment of local museums, I think we need to find a way of leveraging both the inherited institutions as well as buildings on the institutions that are existing. I think, for example, when I think of the Lutuli Museum in Kwazulu, and I think museums like those have got the potential to show us what rural museums can do in terms of social development. Perhaps we need to pick a couple of those museums and begin to say what kind of capacity can we do. For example, we have linked the Lutuli Museum with the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And in terms of research programs, and really that can happen in terms of social development, those institutions can begin to give us a different picture. I also think that, for example, a museum like the Nelson Mandela Museum in Kuna and in Limpopo, those are some of the museums that can begin to do these things that the honorable member has been talking about. But I also want to caution that the building and maintenance of museums is quite an expensive exercise. And one needs to begin to have a really good sense of what the outcomes are going to be and how do we need to achieve. But again, it's about repossession of cultural identity and heritage identity. And then the question of historical sites and historical trails in KZN. May I please request that we also carry that conversation after this meeting, so that we can see what we can do. Amapa was in Natal. We had indicated to us earlier on that they would like to partner with us in terms of those sites, but we need to revisit that framework. But I would also like the honorable principal to work with us in the, because one of the things that is incredible for me is that there is no linkage between tourism strategies of the country and the heritage strategies and tourism. For example, if you go to Rock Street is not linked to the commemorations of Isankara that is coming over there. So that then you find that there's kind of a schizophrenic identity that is coming out. You know, when you're looking at the Sankara, it's the affirmation and commemoration of British history in South Africa. You know? And when you look at the road, the resistance of that, because the presence of Rock Street is an answer to something that happened down there as well. But that is not being articulated. So in some way, we need to begin to sit down between ourselves and tourism. And perhaps it also answers the question that was asked earlier on. What is the role between
or what is the relationship between environmental affairs and tourism and African culture? I think first and foremost is how we brand ourselves as a country, and how we tell the story of South Africa, and how to reinvest on that. Because in some cases I've had, like you go into a heritage site or what have you, and you get five interpretations of what actually happened there.
Like
the front one. Yes. Yeah. So there are all these things that we need to begin to say. Perhaps we can look and say, with this specific province, what is it that we do in terms of tourism development, job creation, highlighting of the history and the heritage? Not in another way, but in a way that a broader picture of South African history happens. The question of repatriation is a long-standing table on the matter on the table, because the basic question that has not been answered is how do we decolonize African heritage, because colonialism is still holding African heritage hostage. British museums, Dutch museums, Serbian, in French museums all over the world. And it's a broader political question that needs to happen. It's a sad story that if you look, London has had, I don't know how many blockbuster exhibitions on Nigerian art. New York has open name, but Nigeria has not been able to do that. Yeah. But what does it say to a child who is Nigerian? It says, I've not contributed, because that child grows up not seeing his heritage contributing to human knowledge. But for a child who is London, who is British, who sees that, he says, my history, my heritage has impacted all over the world. Look here, the evidence. And hence the arrogance of colonialism continues, because it continues to affirm itself. So the question, therefore, of repatriation is both a heritage question, it's a political question as well. But it has been on the table for some time. I don't have an answer, Honorable Member, but I want to share that with you that I understand the sentiment, I understand the concern, and I don't know how soon we can, as a continent, be able to get there. The question of other programs done with communities, and we have some programs that we have done with the Nightingale, and very much of historic nature. There have been some findings that have come from the National Heritage Council. What we can do is to try and get all that data and forward it to you. And as well as the data on the municipalities and the hierarchy that has begun, we can combine all of that. And yes, we do take on board the usage of language and people with disabilities. There isn't a real policy on illegal trafficking, but there is a lot of legislation, in terms of national legislation as well as international conventions, and those then serve as a benchmark for the protection of illicit trafficking. We would welcome an opportunity responding to Honorable Bing to do a presentation on social cohesion and social justice, because it's one area that is going to be, as I have indicated earlier on, that is going to occupy quite a lot of what you're going to be doing. The criteria for funding or not funding of the museum is
it's a very much a vexing one. And there isn't one criteria that is on the table. There was a formula that was developed by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Dumf, who used to be the CEO of the Human Sciences Research Council. But the South African Museum Association has always been uncomfortable with that formula. But that formula led us to the framework that we have on the table. But there have always been consistent calls from the Heritage Center that we should actually review the criteria, the finding criteria. Honorable Chairperson, whilst you were outside, I did attempt to link ourselves and the environmental affairs and tourism, particularly in terms of cultural tourism and heritage tourism. Then we also work together in the management of the site. You find that in most cases, some of the sites, like for example, Rigvestveld, which is a natural site, we do not have the capacity to manage, but they do, and the cradle of humankind. But in areas like Robben Island, where there is more of a cultural content to be managed, we are more prominent. Robben Island is on our book. And so there is that level of cooperation. We are cooperating as well on Mapungubwe, but the leadership is provided by environmental affairs and tourism. With education, we have assisted in providing content for arts education, be it music, be it provision of educational material on national symbols and so forth. With Department of Communication, I have indicated that one of the things that we are doing now, we are sharing a joint cluster and to look at these things, ma'am. It is also the content, the level of violence in the content. And if you look at our television screen, whether you are looking at all the three channels of SABC, MNET, ETV, between 8 and 10 o'clock, there are guns. And those guns are shooting. And those guns are killing people. And so we are continuously reinforcing the only way to raise a solution to a problem is through a gun and kill. And then that thing manifests itself on our streets every day. You know, and we say to ourselves, but it's not just, it's the nature of the content as well. So we are having this conversation, and I can assure you that the DG of Communication actually shares this concern, and that is why we have been asked to sit down with them and to provide an alternative content. The last few ones. And my colleague is going to talk to the issues of supply chain management. And I think we should talk about rural libraries, rural areas, rural museums. I think we should just have a separate thing where we can say to ourselves, how do we actually approach a cultural infrastructure in rural South Africa? And just have a separate conversation on that, and see what is it that we can do, and probably when we're tabling our policy review framework, that is one of the things that we should talk about. Strictly linked to that, as well, is a question of. There is something that I've just noticed that when we talk about the youth, we think we are talking about the children, and the children of South Africa are falling in between the cracks in terms of our planning.
I've just noticed, for example, that one of our institutions, funding institutions, they don't fund programs for children. Children between the ages of 7 and 18, we are not investing in them enough. And then when we want to invest in them, we are investing in them when they are already damaged goods. Yeah. So perhaps it's also one of the things that we would like to talk about is where in all of this sector, where are the children of South Africa in what we are doing? Not the youth. Where are the children of South Africa in what we are doing? And then when we are doing that, Honorable Sondo, I think we will also be addressing some of the turnaround strategies. What are the things, you know, what are the turnaround strategies that we have? And I think those turnaround strategies must concentrate on rural development, just invest in the children of South Africa. We must begin to find things that we can say we are doing, and in terms of social investment. I think the turnaround strategies must be addressed in terms of social investment, but not in terms of funding. Those surpluses, I had anything to write home about, but I just thought that I should let you know, because when there are some surpluses, you find that most of these institutions have moved from a situation where they were 100% funded by government. 100%. And that also is it's not a healthy situation. So one needs to begin to strike a balance. And it's nice to see that there is a surplus. It's nice to encourage them to go into fundraising and sell crafts in their museum shops and things like that. But it's not that big of a surplus, but it, in a way, it shows some creativity and willingness from within the institution. I don't know what to do about Mzansi for sure. But I think that we should also allow for some dynamism in the language. Because I listened to the Hospital of Cape Town, which is very different. Mzansi for sure. They call it Lokshin culture, another word. They say Lokshin culture, and it goes with some clothes and things like that. Interesting finishing on this one. There's a very interesting book written by a British sociologist, Dick Hockage. It's called Subculture, The Meaning of Style. And how style articulates itself in language, in clothing. It's a fascinating book. And if I do come across it in my study, I will give you a call. The last one from my side, I would love to have the National Language Services and the PENSAL. And perhaps we need to look into the policy around it. Oh, I don't know if we should have these two separate entities. And it's a conversation we're having now with self-management in the department. Whether the National Language Services should not be joined by PENSAL. In that way, we'll be streamlining content, we'll be streamlining service delivery. And there was, because what causes the tension between the two now is that they are on top of each other's toes with, duplicated mandates. So it would be good if we can have that conversation, but with a possible outcome of having one organization, Central African Language Board, doing what the Constitution asks us to do. And that's it from my side, Honorable Chairperson. My colleague will deal with the issues of FDM and DEE.
Thank you, DG. I'll try to be brief. If I'm taking too long, I'll keep saying in conclusion so that I can keep the members a bit much more perked up before I can get to the end. Just answering the element of what we how we're participating element of how many companies we have with that's a part of the GE strategy that we have. I want to assure the America, the portfolio committee, that DAC fits in very well when it's in compliance with the overall strategy of government when it comes to the element of implementation of other preferred procurement policy that has to do with competitiveness, openness, as well as fairness. We do have a database that we really maintain within the department that we keep on a rotational basis to ensure that all people that do bid for services in the department are rotated on an ongoing basis. And we are required on a monthly basis as well as a quarterly basis to report to National Treasury anything that surpasses the 100,000 K what you call a threshold in order to be able to show us what is our trend regarding to participate in ensuring that we are within the BAE strategy as well as the numbers that are required by government. Unfortunately, we did not bring the numbers with us right now, and I want to assure the committee that we will be able to provide that report as we are preparing a quarterly report, a half-year report for our DGs that just started in October, so that we can be able to have all the numbers as well as the data that has to do with that. One of the things that also we're embarking on as a strategy is to go on a national endeavor to be able to really make people aware of what services that the department requires so that they can also be trained as to how to be able to fill bidding documents and things of that sort. And put again, like I said, we'll make sure that you can get that information within a short period of time as we finish our report. Going to the next item that was raised by the honorable member Hottentot, but it seems like he has stepped out as to what criteria we use to fund private companies. All companies are required to participate in the bidding process. We do not really, I'm not aware of any private company that we do fund, except the fact that we do award preference funds for functionality, HGI status, gender equity, as well as price of cost, in order to make sure that people really do win some of our bids. And private companies do also participate in that bidding. That is the only criteria that we have. We do not outright fund private companies in any regard. I hope that covers, I think the TV has also covered the element of the institutional management that has to do with the surpluses. I think this is a case of looking at whether the glass is half full, where I think the element of self-sustainability becomes a big issue. But some of the surpluses tend to be used also to pay out some of the post-retirement benefits. Thank you.
In conclusion.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. One of my colleagues would also like to just to add one little point, and Mr. Mashaf.
Thank you, DGP and Chairperson. I just want to stress some of the issues that the DG has raised, which were also raised in the question. I think there are three main issues that were raised by the honorable member. One related to integrated planning, and the other one related to the macro-social challenges, and that was linked to community mobilization. And the issue raised there was that the DAC seems to be having a serious challenge on, around those issues, and what exactly do we have as a turnaround strategy? One would like to put that in a much more broader perspective, especially the issue of community mobilization. And one, well, I think it's important to say that this is a larger problem. It's a problem that has been raised from time to time, even by the president. And it relates specifically to how do we address the issue of social cohesion and social justice in the country.
Now, within the Department of Arts and Culture, we have social cohesion as part of our mission statement. But the DAC itself, or by itself, is unable to maximize the impact towards the realization of social cohesion. As a result, that issue of community mobilization is now placed within the broader perspective of government. It's a component of the broad government program of action. And in that regard, there are a number of things that have taken place. The first is what we have raised with respect to the development of the strategy of social cohesion. Because the issue has been that, aside from what was raised earlier, issues of what do we mean by social cohesion, but what exactly do we want to address in terms of social cohesion at a macroscopic level? Now, what we then did was to engage in a social cohesion and social justice study, which identified certain threats and positive elements of social cohesion. The second level was, how do we address those positive and negative elements of social cohesion? And that led the DAC, in conjunction with government departments, to develop the social cohesion strategy, which I'm sure the honorable members would be familiar with, because it went to the cabinet junta as well. That strategy raised several pillars. One of the pillars was the question of us having to engage in a national dialogue as a country. And the national dialogue has to locate itself on several things, both looking at the positive aspects of social cohesion as well as the negative aspects of social cohesion. For instance, if you take the issue of gender violence, it constitutes a threat to social cohesion. If one takes the issue of xenophobia in the country, that's another threat. Now, if you link that to the issue of community mobilization, you then need to develop an instrument. And I think it must have been last week, yes, when the DAC, through the social cluster, submitted to cabinet that community mobilization tool, which links up with various other departments. It incorporates departments of correctional services and many others in order for us to be able to have maximum impact on community mobilization issues. So we have taken a cluster approach. That's the issue that one wanted to raise in order to try and address this issue. Aside from having to say that the DAC by itself will have to address that. In the next cluster meeting, we will then be able to develop a program. And one needs to mention that the DAC is actually chairing this particular cluster, and it is taking that kind of leadership role. The last issue, Chairperson, relates to the issue of moral regeneration issues, which the DG also touched upon. But on that aspect, and there was mention to the question of the relationship that we have with respect to the Department of Communication and Education, for instance. That also relates to how that issue, that relationship, is being addressed through the ESET cluster, which Mr. Didi mentioned earlier on. Now, the ESET cluster is information society and development cluster. It's not just an IT kind of thing. it's a cluster that looks into the form and nature of information that characterizes our society. It looks at, in the context of the DAC, we then have a subcommittee called Local Content Indicators. Now that subcommittee looks into the form and nature of messages that are being, that our people are being exposed to, our children and the youth. The issue of sexual relations that was mentioned becomes an issue of that particular subcommittee, wherein the various departments begin to engage and now communications and DAC and many others would then be looking at what type of message is being spread to our children, for instance, and how do we address that particular issue. And in the next week, we'll be developing a program together with those particular departments that is aimed at addressing those issues of not having negative messages that impact negatively upon the development of our people, as well as the issues of moral religious generation. The National Religious Leaders Forum, for instance, is another partner that we are partnering with as the DAC through the partnership that we are engaged in trying to address the issue of moral issues. Those are the issues that I thought were critical in trying to address these other issues that were presented also. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me give honorable first bite, and then your second bite,
thank you, Chair. Mine is related to the investing in culture. Unfortunately, these pages are not numbered. You made mention of the program has invested 40% of its allocation in local municipalities in support of integrated sustainable rural development and urban renewal programs. You mentioned of 8 programs. Free State, Pumalanga, and so forth. But I don't see Northwestern sharing as one of these provinces that must benefit out of this project. The second one, Chair, relates to the design project of Parliament's new emblem, which in my view is a very good program, of course. It was, you know, a program that was consequently done by the Department of Arts and Culture as its own program. But I don't see this emblem appearing on the same presentation from the Department of Arts and Culture, which to me is very important. Our doctor view says that this emblem will also appear in every paper of this government. Because in some other papers you still see the old emblem, which is confusing. The last one, Chair, it relates to the national anthem. While I was doing my constituency work, I visited a number of schools, which to me it was a disgrace, Chair. People not knowing how to think a national anthem. And I doubt them to whether here there will be any one of us who can sing that national anthem for the people. I was of the view here to check with the DG related to this issue, that do they have a joint concerted program of actually with the Department of Education in dealing with some of these issues. People might see it as not serious issues, but it is. Because when you go to various, you go to stadiums, people will see you wearing some pants, joking, talking all this nonsense. But when you go to Amabobobobo games, you can see that these people are taking this national anthem seriously. So I just want to check with the department as to whether we have that joint program with the Department of Education for us to implement some of the decisions that we are taking. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe just a little bit as far as this national anthem is concerned. I think we raised one person one time related to this national anthem. There is a group which, whether it's quite or what, they have they dance it, we raise it as, why is it happening like that? Because that is a national symbol, which everybody has to respect. And their own phrases, it was really, I feel it's horrible, because I'm still hearing that group who's playing that song, that national anthem. So, and then let me give Mama Mbombo a chance. And
among the community. There are those who are calling themselves the boys and others and the friends. And what is that? What is concern and the cause? And we left that at the day. We said, you know, the department will have it for because there was just confusion there. Confusion is different. As such, there was a restriction of a certain coin, and it was taken off because the person who took it off, because that group was tested actually, said Sarah Patna was not a coin on the set. She must not be mixed with coin. A lot of and when we ask them who is the coin, who is the thing, they don't know. They don't know. They look alike, they eat the same food, they talk the same language, but one would say, I'm not a coin then, I'm a coin and I'm a thing. And that affects the brain as well. And the leader of the group at that time said it would be lovely if there was some social work, because there are a lot of indigenous plants today, machines, so at least that the people of that day must get something when we visit there, because everybody just even the cows, they go there to pray, and the people come and take their photos for the grave. They just do that and go away. Nothing is happening. That's what the shape of us is that we can say. I can even go at the other time as well. Then just another statement I wanted is that we visited the Akad. and we found the website, but they complained about the level of translation. Okay, it's spoiling the book. So if they would ask if there would be a mail to somewhere else. And we asked them if the department will be there. And now I'm asking the department when are you going to remove those two entities? Where they put the ventilation and the district?
Thank you. I think the last time I said it.
Chair, allow me to make this comment that this is the first time after such a comprehensive input or presentation we find other colleagues of ours when ask questions and we ask. Quite interesting because it's the first time that I speak. It means that everything is very clear to a point. And the other comment is I hope that the department is taking care of what the comment from the chair in the morning of vacation services. When I talk about vacation services, the department is being addressed. I want to hope or let us hope that you are addressing the question of gender in the department. Yes. And then if I think that there is no time we don't want to ask many questions. But I also wanted to know even if it's not here, maybe I can get it, you know, inviting. Because I'm interested to know what they mean by new women's meeting. Because in the Eastern Cape they're saying that just The last one is when we're talking about language session development centers, you spoke about some languages that training is in process. Who might have said it when you're talking about some language? Who I'm training, because I'm interested in whether you mean the staff, department of all the children in school that are going to be trained on some language or
Thank you for your response, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair Pastor. The matter of Northwest not appearing there. Can I request that I go and actually find out the actual fact there, and then I can provide an answer. But I just don't have the number to the members. Yes, I just don't have the answer now. And the question of Parliament's new emblem. It's very difficult for me to answer on that one because of the separation of powers and what goes on is that in the parliament institution they are not, this is an institution on its own, and I'm unable to answer on behalf of the institution. And the question of the national anthem and the etiquette surrounding the national anthem is very critical one, and it has been raised a number of times, and it is something that is receiving attention in the popularization of national symbols. But just generally, people do not understand that when you are singing a national anthem, a national anthem is actually a prayer. Just that simple, it is a prayer. And every prayer has got a particular etiquette surrounding praying and that we call it praying. And perhaps the kind, the language we use to get to people, you know, we need to simplify language. And the honorable member was saying, what do we mean when we say social cohesion? And can we say you are driving social cohesion messages? What is social cohesion in our own language? So I think perhaps one of the things that we need to do around the national anthem is to look at the way that we are communicating the values around the national anthem. And as the Department of Education, I must acknowledge the good work that is being done in schools with the national symbol, the national anthem, the flag. There is a lot of work that is being done. There's also lots of material that is being distributed in schools. And I agree the situation around the Sarah Bachman grave was a matter of concern. And but I would also like to request that you come and do a presentation on the development that is being planned there, the infrastructure development. And the plans that we are dealing with the Kuham municipality, the Brazilian Port Mega Reserve, so that you can then have a sense of how those challenges around that are being done. We can also invite our colleagues from provincial and local government to be part of that proceeding, and then we can have a comprehensive proceeding. I don't know about the KZN archives because all the archives that were in the province, it was involved in the province. The archives that we are answerable to, as it were, are the archives that are in the province. Because the ones that are down the road, all the ones that came to KZN belong to the province, the same in KZN. I could check with my colleagues, but the archives that are located in the province are ultimately even attending on our campus. But I would like you to make a follow-up on the matter, and maybe there is an understanding between our national archivist and the KZN and archives. The question of vacancy rate and gender, I said that I hear it very loud and clear. I said that it's flashing, I think it's clear. honestly, it is quite clear. And then the issue of women's museum, that jail was a women's jail. And the way that the people are looking at it now is that they want it to not to be a museum which will address itself to women's developmental issues. All right, and that's why how it is being conceptualized. Now, the issue of but we are still at very early stages with this project. And I'm sure we would welcome input as well regarding the development of that. My sense of sign language, we were not training people inside the department. Can I come back to you with a proper and appropriate answer on that? Because I am sure that there would be different levels to that. Because one is to be also targeting the people with that specific disability and the industry in that case. But I don't know how they have been, how that they have designed the asphalt program. So I'm not able to give you an accurate answer, but can I go and do the homework and then provide that answer?
Thank you very much, Gigi. Can I please make a decision? I think if we have something more of a health benefit issue, I think your doors are open that we can submit or written questions to the department for clarity, which I'm giving also members to go and do some thorough research and submit those questions to you. I think they're welcome. Are you not?
Yes, they're much welcome. Thank you very much.
And then before we leave for the second logistic, which the secretary is going to tell us, we are so thankful that our suggestions, we believe, will be carried out. And we want to be more proud when we move around here that at least us and Kasa is doing it, is changing this country of ours, really. Thank you very much, Your Logistics Secretary.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can I just request that we give the secretary the schedule of the ministers in diesel, and that you can circulate to the members.
Number Sanman. Because yeah, because brother, you are still a motion everything. What's the vibe, I told you?
Thank you.